I feel like sometimes youth pastors are at a loss, like, whoa, why is nobody showing up? What it taught me is if my event fails, I can't look at, well, whose fault was it? Well, that's why it failed. What I have to say is, what could I have done to prevent this? If your event is awesome and it's planned well and planned right time, and it's something they want to do, you probably won't have a hard time getting people there. Today, we're talking all about events, how to have a successful one, and what to do when it goes wrong.
Welcome to the Ministry Coach Podcast, where we give you weekly tips and tactics to help you fast track the growth and health of your youth ministry. If this is our first time meeting, my name is Jeff Lascola, and this is
Kristen Lascola.
So tell me, have you ever had one of these experiences where you plan and plan and plan and do all sorts of things to make the most amazing event in the world, and it's an absolute flop?
Yes, I have. And I think we all have a few of those. Hopefully, the further you go, it gets less and less and less events like that, because you're learning and growing and adjusting. And so today we're going to talk about what to do when your event goes totally wrong. It's a total fail, total flop. And how do we handle that failure? And I guess maximize the potential of the failure so that we continue to be better. So
number one, quit. You're not cut out for this.
Hey, that's discouraging. I would have quit a long time ago if that were true, because I've had some flops and failures. And yeah, like you were saying, there's nothing more discouraging when you feel like you had all your ducks in a row and this is going to be epic and awesome, and it just is a flop for a number of reasons, which we'll kind of talk about in a second. But number one, what to do when your event fails is identify the breakdown. What happened? Like, I think if you can identify that, you're ahead of the curve, because I think sometimes we just are like, I don't know what it is. So you might need to ask some people, ask a perspective. Like, sometimes it'll be glaringly obvious. Oh, because we didn't book transportation. Like, that's why this event didn't work. But sometimes it's more nuanced and cloudy and like, well, I don't know. It just didn't feel like I thought it would feel like. I didn't get the attendance I was hoping I'd get. So you might want to ask people's perspective of students, hey, what would have made this event better? Or students who didn't come, why didn't you come? Maybe you want to ask parents, how did that event feel to you from sign up to pick up? Like, was it user friendly? Mm-hmm. Was it accessible? What was your experience? And then ask the leaders. Maybe you had some volunteers that helped you out and were there, and just people love sharing their opinion of just like, what do you think would have made this better? Or like, what was the miss to you?
Do you only seek out these kinds of opinions when you know things didn't go quite right? Or is this like across the board, good or bad? You share.
I think I'm more prone to ask it when things went badly, because when it went well, I'm like, woohoo, like everything went great.
Yeah.
Obvious that it was a win. But and it would probably be beneficial to ask no matter what. I just feel like it comes to my mind, like when I'm just like, man, this did not go as planned. Like, what do you guys think would have made this better? You know, and everyone, what I've noticed is that everyone sees something different from where they sit, the interactions they had, the conversations they overheard, where they sat on the bus, where they were in line, whatever it might be. They always have really great suggestions. So things that haven't gone well for me in the past that I've been able to identify would be things like, oh, we left certain things to the last minute and it was a scramble. And had we had time to order better things online, or, you know, be more organized in a certain area, it would have gone better. Didn't double check something or confirm something. I would say that for me has been about 90% of my fails is like the confirmation. Just because you've emailed somebody 4 months ago and you booked an ice skating rink at 3 a.m. does not mean that they remember.
Right.
Even when it comes to transportation companies, like, I've been waiting and waiting for hours and hours. Like, where's our bus? What are you talking about? Well, I booked you 2 months ago. You did? We have no record of that.
Right.
Like, I cannot overstate the importance of the confirmation, the checking in. Hey, the event's next week. Just want to make sure we're on track. Hey, see you guys in a couple days, right? Like, you cannot overdo the check-in, the confirmation. Another reason my events haven't gone well in the past is I didn't promote it well. I made people really search for information and it wasn't accessible and it wasn't easy to find, or I didn't give enough time for promotion. It was like, next week we're having a Christmas costume contest. Right. Come. It's like, what? Like, that's not enough time to promote it. I didn't promote it across enough mediums, you know? So promotion has been something, and that's kind of like one of those last minute things, you know, kind of is in that catch-all. Maybe something else competed with it. Maybe you tried to promote two events at the same time and it was just too confusing. Or maybe you planned a really cool event the weekend of homecoming or something like that. So if another event is competing for it, or was your event just lame? You know, like maybe it was just like a tired event that is just not a winner and people just maybe had tried it last year and they're like, eh, it was lame, you know, and then they don't go back.
Or just didn't sound fun at all to begin with.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it was something that you thought would be a hit.
And right.
Like, I think I tried to do a girls craft night one night and like two girls showed up. I was like, cool, you know, I guess you guys aren't into crafting, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like, I thought that sounded fun. We like did a Valentine's Day themed craft night and bought some treats and stuff. And I think the junior high girls were not about it. It works really well for our high school girls and like the college or young women's ministry. So, you know, just wasn't my demographic. So maybe you didn't have enough help. So I've had events that were a flop because we just didn't have enough supervision and the power balance got off and the kids overtook us and it was mayhem. So making sure you have enough help for your events, that is a really big thing too. So these are just examples of things I've personally experienced why my events have failed. And I'm sure there are a lot more, but the point is you've got to identify what was broken. What was the breakdown? What didn't we do well? Because it might not be the whole event is trash.
Yeah.
Craft night, I think the whole event was trash, but that's the only event that I've kind of gotten rid of. We've grown out of some of our events, but they were working well up until we just were too big for some of them now. But I think I usually don't throw out an entire event. It's mostly like, well, with a few tweaks, this would have been better. I just needed more volunteers, or I needed more time to promote it. Or, you know, I don't think we did a great job of like signups were not really user friendly, or, you know, whatever. So figure out what broke down and how you can try better next time. Keep a record. Don't just think you're going to remember this stuff either. Yeah. I've made that mistake of like, well, this was such a big deal. I'll totally remember to confirm with the bus company because this was so painful. No, by the time winter camp comes again, or, you know, you're over or all nighter happens again, you're not going to remember. So keep a log of event reviews, event notes, you know, just like a Word document, save it along with all your material for that particular event so that you can go back and refresh your memory. I do that every year for our summer camp of here's the notes from last year. Make sure you do this, 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 this. So this night didn't work for this. Make sure you switch this night for that night. Because I'm like, oh, whoa, I would have never remembered that. So keeping notes on that is a very big plus.
Going back to getting feedback, whether an event works good or bad, I would personally suggest that you do it regardless, just because you can have an experience where you walked away thinking this was so great, but everyone else's experience might be a total, like it was a total disaster. And here, and as an example, we one time hosted an event at our house. And the people, well, hosted as in we let them use our house to do the event. They were kind of in charge of leading everything, you know, figuring everything out, planning everything. And they left a lot of things undone. And behind the scenes, all the people that were kind of volunteering or helping
were like scrambling to like fill in the gaps and make it work.
And their impression was, what a perfect night. It went so well, you know.
And everyone else is like sweating.
Right. Like you don't realize how much stuff you put on everybody else because you forgot to do all these things.
Yeah.
So I think whether you think it's a great night or a bad night, whatever, ask your volunteers and get some feedback and say, what was your experience like? What could have been done better? What went well? Just to get those other voices, you know, just to see the other perspectives of what may have happened or not have happened.
Yeah, that's, and I feel like you can, just ask a couple people at the end of the night, whoever's still around right. or whatever. You don't have to launch a big event.
Give a poll to every person before
time,
you leave.
Just like, hey, what did you think? Or how did that go? Or, you know, but yeah, I think you're right. Whether it's a success or fail, feedback is good, which kind of brings us to number two. And I've mentioned this before, but just don't get defensive. And I think that's the hard thing, because if you're going to ask for feedback on events or anything at all in your youth ministry, the moment you get defensive, people shut down and then they realize, oh, this is not, you don't actually want feedback. You just want me to tell you what went great.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were at our staff meeting today and our campus pastor was saying, you know, I really don't care if you guys try new things and they fail. And then you just are like, oh, I guess we're not going to do that anymore. And he's like, I just feel like there's something about just trying and going to uncharted territory and doing fun and new exciting things. You never know when it's going to be a hit. So hopefully you work in a church culture that has that same sentiment, that there is that room for error to just like try a dinosaur theme night and maybe it was great and maybe it was not and you don't have to do it again. But just something like, I used to do these Monday evening summer Bible studies. And I was like, this is like for the intense kids who want, like, I would teach them how to use online Bible study tools and they would come, and it started out with like a group of like 10, and then it was like 8, 6, 4 and they were just sort of like, you could just tell they were so bored and their parents made them come. And I was just like, you know, I was trying to, like, I think our high school ministry was doing it at the time, and I kind of wanted to be like, well, junior hires can learn to study the Bible too. And
and they can't. That's what it proved.
They can, but it just, it was just too over their head. It just was not like, that's not what we want to do on a Monday night in the summer. So I just got rid of it. And nobody was like, what are our Monday night Bible studies? It was like, hey, that was for a summer. We don't like it. We're moving on. So just kind of get the pulse of people. Like, is this something I think people are enjoying? Is it worthwhile? You know, numbers don't say the whole story. It's like, well, if 6 kids are enjoying it, then do it. You know, but I think because I saw them dwindling week after week after week, it was kind of telling me, I don't know that this is a value. I don't know if people are enjoying this. I don't know if they're getting, you know, the most out of it that they were hoping to. So pay attention to what people like and don't like and what's of value to them. But yes, learn from all of those things, you know.
You had said about having a pulse, you know, like, and I think that's a good point, because a lot of events, I think you should be able to tell before, well, hopefully you even like commit to doing it. Is this going to be a win or not with my group? So I would say, in trying new things, don't go so far out, you know, somewhat stay in your lane of what are your kids probably going to like. And you can speak into this more, but I'm just throwing this out there. I feel like when you have an event and you kind of pitch the idea to your students, a lot of times they might just say, yeah, like, sure, I would do that. But then sometimes when it comes down to actually showing up, maybe not.
Yeah.
How do you feel about making that like a, here's a perfect example. We want to do shirts for our ministry. Would you buy one? This is a sore subject. Sorry. We're going
to
do shirts.
Don't talk to me about
merch.
We're
going to do shirts for our ministry. Would you guys buy one? Yes, we would.
No, they won't.
Let's print up, you know, 100 of these things. All right. They're for sale. Nobody buys it.
Yeah. Happened versus, to me a million times.
Versus pre-selling. You say you want them. This is how much they're going to cost. You know, you put your money in and then we're going to put the order in. And that can kind of like, same thing kind of, could that be for an event where it's like, hey, we're going to do a dinosaur night. You know, is that something you guys are interested in? Yeah, it's going to be cost $5, pay in advance. And if all of a sudden no one's showing, like putting any money towards
it. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I feel like it depends on the event. Like if I need your like headcount for transportation, or like I'm paying per person at a venue, like laser tag or something like that, then yeah, I do pay in advance, permission slip in advance, register online, the whole thing. And so I know my exact numbers. Most of the time, if we're just doing something at the church, like for example, the Glover Nighter, where it doesn't really matter like what's what's 50 more glow sticks? Like three bucks, you know?
But you know that's going to be a hit. I'm thinking
more. I
didn't
the first time. Oh, you know what I mean? And so I just was like, hey, I'm going to guesstimate, you know, at least half of my group is going to show up because we've been promoting it really well. I bought enough supplies. And then I figured what I don't use, I'll just save for next year. It was very low cost. It's just glow paint and balloons and stuff. So it was not a big deal. So I don't make people sign up for that kind of stuff because I don't really care how many show up. Mm. You know, it's like, well, if everyone shows up, great. If only half show up, great. The night will go on.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's also a critical mass issue too. When I was smaller, there's a big difference between 10 kids and 40 kids. Right. But now that we're bigger, it's like, hey, sometimes the less that show up, the better, because it's easier and it's more controllable, like energy wise and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, depending on your size of group, you might want to do signups ahead of time. And then that is just like, you're getting
paid signups.
Yeah,
though?
Paid signups. Yep.
Because once someone puts money down, they're like a million times more likely to actually show up.
Right. Well, and then that goes back to the question we were talking about in number one, like if your event is awesome and it's planned well and planned right time, you know, and it's something they want to do, like you probably won't have a hard time getting people there. Mm. You know, I feel like sometimes youth pastors are at a loss, like, whoa, why is nobody showing up? I think then you have to go back to number one, what's the breakdown? Because junior hires, especially, like, this is their social life. Like, mm-hmm. they don't have cars. So when you plan something, they should want to be there because that's when they're going to see their friends. That's when they're going to see everyone. It's their Friday night thing to do. It's their weekend thing to do. They're not making their own plans really yet. Their parents are still dropping them off everywhere. So if the event is for them, planned really well and easy for the parents, then you should see a pretty big spike in signups. And then if you're a new youth group, don't worry because events gain reputation over time. Yeah. So the first time you do a Glovernighter, they might be like, what? But then they get FOMO and you show pictures like on your rotating slide and pro presenter before service starts. And you show a little recap video and there's a reel on Instagram and you put some pictures up on the wall in your youth room on Gator board or something like that. Now everything's like, what? I missed out. Right. And it's larger than life and it takes on this life of its own. So that brings up a good point. Not what I planned on talking about today, but the after promotion or like the after hype is also just as important as the pre-hype. So you hype up this event, the people come. Well, now you have to hype it up after to show, look what we did. Let's relive it for a moment. And then you do create this like, oh, you should have been there. I hope you can come next time. So like we post reels of all these events on our story on Instagram, but we also will do like a 60-second recap video the next week at youth group. So like, hey, how many of you guys went to the Glovernighter? Oh, awesome. All right. Well, if you missed out, go ahead and check it out. This is what we did. And then it's like a very high energy 60-second recap. And then people are cheering and reliving it. And then they can't wait to go next time. So the after promotion too, kind of ride that momentum and it takes on a life of its own kind of, you know, capitalize on the memories and just like, that was so fun, huh? You know, do that with camps, especially like, you know, there's so much footage there and meaningful footage of people worshiping and like they had these breakthroughs and baptisms and all this cool stuff. And then people, eventually it becomes a part of your culture that you want to be at this stuff.
Right.
And for good reason, like it's not just like, come to our event for what? We don't make any money on this. There's no weird ulterior motives. It's more like you need to be a part of community and like you missed out on some really cool spiritual moments and you missed out on some awesome bonding moments and some fun moments and, you know, like being the core, like feeling like this is your home, feeling like this is your family, feeling like this is your place. All of these are connection points that we don't want kids to miss out on and just sit on the sideline of youth group. You know, we need them to get to events because that's where they become a part of things rather than just like I attend and I leave, but like I was a part of something. It is important in their spiritual development, you know, to like feel like the church is my family, the church is my home, the church, these are my people. And those bonds create open ears, you know, and open ears to what? The gospel. Mm-hmm. Like it all, I mean, it's not a stretch. All of this stuff realistically points back to the gospel. It's very strategic youth ministry. Like, I don't need to do a glow overnighter. I don't need to have a glow in the dark party to make my life complete. It's right. Not for me. I could do without. I promise you that. But when I see kids go from like sitting on the bench to getting more involved to feeling like I'm comfortable and maybe I'll open up and maybe I can trust these people and I did have fun with them and I can share in small group or I can ask for prayer or I can ask a question about Jesus. Like it's all a part of the process. Yeah. You know, that was kind of a tangent, but I just don't want the big picture to get lost on us of like, make your events great. Well, why? Who right. cares? I don't need to hang out with 80 junior hires in neon on a Friday night unless there's a strategy involved yeah. to get them down that funnel to making a decision for Jesus or being just Velcroed to the church and God's word and other Christians, like for their spiritual health. So anyways, all right. Number three, don't blame other people. If your event does not go well, don't blame other people. This is probably one of the most tempting ones, probably for the reasons we were talking about of like, we do get defensive. And I have a story here. So I had tried to partner with a youth pastor in our vicinity, not in our town, but I had wanted to partner with him on this event. And we confirmed, this goes back to the confirmation conversation. I was like, hey, this is the date we're coming. He's like, great, sounds good. Well, it was like the day of, and I'm like, all right, see you in a bit. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, what do you mean? What am I talking about? And he's like, well, we planned something else for tonight. I didn't remember that you were coming. I'm like, well, we've talked about it. And this was his line to me. He said, you should have reminded me and confirmed with me. And I said,
was he a junior
hire? I said to him, Mr. I don't even remember his name. Yeah. Was he a junior hire? I said to him, like, you said, yes, it's not really my job to like remind you, write it in your calendar, you know? So I was mad. We made it work. We like kind of just weaseled our way into whatever they were doing. It wasn't really great, but it worked. But here's what I wanted to blame him. And I still do, whatever your name is.
What's the point of this again?
Because what it taught me is if my event fails, I can't look at, well, whose fault was it? Well, that's why it failed. What I have to say is, what could I have done to prevent this? Is it my job to remind a grown man to put his events in his calendar? No, it's not. But if that will make my event go smoothly, just reaching out and saying, hey, you, looking forward to seeing you next week. Anything you need from me, like checking in. What I learned is people aren't who I want them to be. They are who they are. So if I don't want to punish myself and my entire youth ministry, I better just humble myself and continue to reach out, continue to confirm, continue to make sure like we're all on the same page. Is it my job? Should I have to? No, but I can't blame other people for the failure. Where do I come in? What could I have done to catch that fall? And that's what leaders do. Catch the fall. Not like, well, it's your responsibility. That's what I want to say, but I need to catch the fall before it happens. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the initial knee-jerk reaction is, who did this? Whose fault is this? Who can we blame? Who can we point fingers at? And it might be very well someone's total and complete fault. But I think what we have to do, instead of going to being angry at people, let's back up and look at the process. Yeah. Well, where did the process break down? So I could say, well, it's your fault because you should have put it in your calendar. Or I could say, well, the process should be, I check in with you a week and then 4 days and then 2 days and then the day of, mm-hmm. because that process will account for human error, because there will be human error. So how can you outsmart human error as much as possible and for me, that comes down to confirmation over and over and over again. Over communicating, not assuming people know what they're doing or when to be there. Like, don't assume people have got it. You're the one in charge. You need to over communicate, over check in, over confirm, over help. And then if people, after you've worked with them for a while, if you feel like, oh, they're totally capable, they don't need me as much. But sometimes people aren't really all that capable to do things on their own right out of the gate. And we just lean too much on what we assume is their capability, but it might just not be their gift or their strength. They might not know how. Maybe we haven't equipped them to do that or trained them how to do that. And so, like, I had someone set up a game for me a long time ago, and I had asked for a very specific number of items and I didn't check them. And then I was on stage and I'm like, all right, I need this many volunteers. We didn't have enough items for all the volunteers. And I'm kind of thinking, like, how did you not have... So don't blame the person. I thought I should have double checked. Why didn't I go back and just do a quick count to make sure they got exactly? And you guys might be thinking, so I have to like babysit everyone and hold everyone's hand. Yeah, you do. So that's leadership. If you want them, if you want your events to go well, if you want to continue to blame people and have events that things fall through the cracks and all that, then sure, like let them continue. But sometimes it's like, you just have to go the extra mile, do the extra work to make sure things are done. Every I is dotted, every T is crossed. And sometimes for events, it is daunting. But what I've learned is, unless I double check things or have gotten to the point with someone in my relationship with where I totally trust them and I know they're capable, but even the most capable, like, I even like forget stuff, you know what I mean? And because I'm the most capable, even me, you guys. But I just mean, like, we have to count that there will be human error. Yeah. So just do everything you can to catch that fall.
And then I think if there is that conversation that needs to happen with somebody where it's just like blatantly, they completely drop the ball, that's not a public conversation.
Right.
It's something you maybe pull them aside, and talk to them about if it needs to be discussed. But it just reminds me of like when football season is around and it's very clear that the wide receiver dropped the pass or ran the wrong route. The quarterback publicly says, I need to throw a ball that he can, you know, that is catchable. I'm not putting the ball where it needs to be.
That's a good perspective. But instead of saying you missed it,
you ran the wrong route. And, you know, it's like, I need to throw someone a ball where I need to put the ball where he can catch it. And then like privately, you probably say, hey, you zigged when you should have zagged, you know? And if even that, because I think once they watch film, they know, okay, I screwed up. So it's not, there's no sense in being like, hey, everybody, just so you know, I did what I was supposed to do and they messed up. I know. It doesn't look good for anybody.
And especially for a three who, like an Enneagram three who like prides himself on being very capable. When things fail, I want it to be publicly known. I would like to make an announcement. I did not do anything wrong. I crossed all my T's. I dotted my I's. But this clown over here dropped the ball. Do we love this clown? Yes, we do.
Sometimes.
We love the clown. But the clown, it's his fault. Not mine. Love the clown. Not my fault. We're all clear?
Great. Yeah.
Because I always want people to see me as like, you were responsible.
Right.
You did everything you could. I don't want them to be like, well, what kind of like circus is she running? You know, because I don't want to lose trust. I feel like, you know, well, she didn't even like try her best or she, you know, I just don't want to lose trust with people. So I always want to like be like, it was them. But there's something too about when we really do fail of just to be like, gosh darn it, guys, like, I'm so sorry.
But that doesn't look good either, though, where it's like, yeah, maybe it was someone else's fault. But when the blame comes down, and you're just going, oh, it was them. That never makes you look good either.
I know. So yeah, you look like a loser either way.
Yeah. Sucks.
Just kidding. All right. Speaking of that, last number four, check your attitude. Especially your public attitude. So I think sometimes like we can just give in to the fail. Like, oh, that was the worst. Oh, I can't believe this, you know, whatever. But instead, I think we can acknowledge like, dang it, this is a bummer. Well, what are we going to do? And so you can stay positive and always move toward a solution, move toward resolution, and be grateful where you can. Mm. Give kudos like, hey, well, you did a great job. Like, we can't help if this happened. Like, what should we do now? Let's solve this problem. So work on problem solving, but encourage people where you can. Like, what did go well, but what can we solve in the moment? So always trying to maintain that positive attitude that's not like wallowing in the failure, but just moving the team toward a solution. Mm. Well, here's what we do have. Or one time I ordered like 50 pizzas from the wrong pizza place, and somebody went to go pick up the pizza.
Why are you a dolphin in the water?
Why am I? Maybe it was very comforting.
For those of you just listening on the podcast, you can't see Kristen treading water like a dolphin while she's making this.
I have no idea. Maybe it was a gesture that I just got stuck on. Malfunction.
Continue.
So I ordered like 50 pizzas from the wrong place. I sent a leader to go pick them up and there were no pizzas there. And he's like, they've never heard of us. I'm like, yeah, I put in the order, 50 pizzas. And then I realized, oh, it was the wrong Little Caesars. Okay. And I'm like, great. The kids have no food now. So what do we do? And he's like, I can wait here. Maybe we can see if they can do something real quick. And so we had to entertain the kids while these people make a bunch of pizzas. Well, I ended up paying for 50 pizzas here and 50 pizzas there. I lost all what would have been like breaking even on this event. We lost all the money and it was terrible. And so we kind of had to laugh about it and we went
and cry.
Yeah. I felt so stupid. Cause I'm like, that's a very avoidable mistake, but again, human error, it's going to happen even for us youth pastors. But when that happens, can we just move to a solution? Like, well, I guess the kids are going to have to stay up an extra hour because we need more time. They have to get pizza, put on a Just Dance. Let's play another round of dodgeball, like keep them entertained until these pizzas come, and then thank that leader for sticking around. And sorry, I made you run all over town. I'm an idiot. You know, just, you know, like we can own it and then move on toward a solution. So just know this, the failures will happen, but I feel like we all learn way more through the pain than through the success. Because when you've had a failure, you realize, I never want to feel that feeling again. I never want to be out $200 for pizza again. I never want to show up and nobody knows we're coming again. Mm. Like those feelings. And that's when you start to get really dialed in and your failures will become far and fewer between because you remember the pain and you adjust. So be patient with yourself through the process, but learn from each thing of what could I have done differently and how can I make this better next time? But don't give in to the demoralization of, oh, I'm the worst, or this is the worst, or nobody likes us, or my events suck. And it's just like, okay, something's broken. Mm-hmm. How can we fix it? Because kids like events. Events can go well and events can be the lifeblood of your ministry. If they're not going well, you've got to figure out what's broken. Ask people who would know, make adjustments, don't take it personally, and try to stay positive.
And if you are looking for a tried and true event that we've done in our ministry, you've done at your ministry multiple times, it is the Glover Nighter. We did a whole episode on some of the games you can play and just the way to theme out and schedule the whole night. So make sure you check that out. It'll be linked in the description below. And now let's do a question of the day.
Our car.
In going along with the line of events, this is an overrated, underrated, or accurately rated.
Okay.
Lock-ins overnighters.
Trigger word.
Do you think they're overrated, underrated?
By who?
Or accurately rated? Students. Let's start with the pastor, the youth pastor. Do you feel like it's overrated?
I don't feel like any youth pastor is overrating them. They all hate them. They all do them because they have to. We all hate them. We all agree they are terrible.
Overrated. All right. That's your answer. See if anybody else disagrees
students
with that.
Students are out of their mind, and especially junior hires, because they don't get out much, but they love them. And in fact, mine is going to come up next month and I'm already...
I thought you did it in January.
So that's the Glovernighter. We do the all overnighter in September.
That's another one. Yeah.
Yeah. No so, sleep. I'm already I'm still tired from summer.
You're
camp.
Tired thinking about being up all night. Make sure you guys put in the comment section below if you think that lock-ins or overnighters are overrated, also, underrated, or accurately rated.
Can I put out a request? If you love overnighters, lock-ins, whatever your church calls them,
then why don't you marry
listen,
them?
Listen, oh. Shush. And you live in Southern California and you want to do mine for me, you can come to my church and I will tell you Ooh. Exactly how to do it. And you, it'll be perfect. You'll love it. I'll go home. I'll go to bed. It'll be fabulous. It'll be the best.
All right. Community comment of the day. This comes from Cobalt351, who says, just what I needed. I found this podcast at just the perfect time for me. I was simply looking for a last minute game idea and found so much more. The information they share is so practical and gives a boost to our ministry. Ooh. Thank you both for all you give us.
You're welcome, Cobalt.
Appreciate you leaving that comment. That's
a lot
awesome.
Of people say that they came for a game and they got a lot more than they bargained
My
for.
Lot more than they bargained for.
Why that voice? I did
because
not.
Because I was going to repeat what you said, and then instead of saying lot, I said mot, and then I leaned into that voice. Okay. If you really want to know.
I'm sorry I asked. That was way too much information.
What I'm yarging for.
Okay, bye.
Thank you guys for watching and listening, and we'll see you next time. Welcome to the Ministry Coach Podcast. There's a fly attacking me. Hold on a second. You, go away. And today we're going to talk about how a lot of, I don't know.
Apparently, you don't have what it takes to do youth ministry.